Welcome back to The Wise Man's Page, the daily podcast where we read a page of the wise man's fear, and then we talk about it. This is page 92. Casually. I'll need a small crucible, 3 ounces of tin, 2 ounces of bronze, 4 ounces of silver, a spool of fine wire gold, a copper... Hold on a second, Jackson interrupted me. He ran a finger back along my name in the ledger. I don't have you authorized for gold or silver. He looked up at me. Is that a mistake? I hesitated, not wanting to lie. I didn't know you needed authorization, I said. Jackson gave me a knowing grin. You're not the first one to try something like that, he said. Rough tuition? I nodded. He grinned sympathetically. Sorry, Kilvin knows stocks can turn into a moneylender's stall if he isn't careful. He closed the ledger. You'll have to hit the pawn shop like everyone else. I held up my hands, showing him the fronts and backs to make a point of my lack of jewelry. Jackson winced. That's rough. I know a decent moneylender on Silver Court only charges 10% a month. It's still like having your teeth pulled, but better than most. I nodded and sighed. Silver Court was where the guild moneylenders had their shops. They wouldn't give me the time of day. It's certainly better than I've gotten in the past, I said. I thought things over while I went to Imra, the familiar weight of my loot resting on one shoulder. I was in a tight spot, but not a terrible one. No guild moneylender would lend money to an orphan Edema Ra with no collateral, but I could borrow the money from Devi. Still, I wish it hadn't come to that. Not only was her rate of interest extortionate, but I worried what favors she might require of me if I ever defaulted on my loan. I doubted they would be small, or easy, or entirely legal. Such were the turnings of my thoughts as I made my way over Stonebridge. I stopped by an apothecary, then made my way to the Grey Man. Opening the door, I saw the Grey Man was a boarding house. There was no common room where people could gather and drink. Instead, there was a small, richly appointed parlor, complete with a well-dressed porter who eyed me with an air of disapproval, if not outright distaste. "Can I help you, young sir?" he asked as I came in the door. "I'm calling on a young lady," I said, "by the name of Dinael." He nodded. "I shall go and see if she is in." That's the page. I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
I think it's pretty neat and tidy the way Rothfuss sets up and explains away the possible out that Quoth could take some precious metals from the fishery and pawn them. That's something that I wouldn't be surprised if a beta reader pointed out that he had to write his way or around filling the hole. So I appreciate it. Neat bit of world building. It makes it feel lived in.
Yes. It's nice that like this isn't a thing that Quoth does. Like, it's not a thing that Quoth has done, so they have to make a rule to stop Quoth from doing it. It's a rule that already exists because someone else has already tried it, right? So it does give the world that air of verisimilitude. Quoth's not the first person to think of doing this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that there's no, I don't want to say plot holes because that word gets misused a lot, but there's, I can't think of anything where it's like, well, why didn't he do this? This would have been the obvious thing to do. There's nothing worse than when you're reading a book or watching a movie and you come up with a solution that makes more sense than what the main character does, and there's no reason that they didn't do that.
Yeah, there's certainly no other answer that comes to mind in any obvious way, so this feels real.
Yeah, I also like his interaction with Jackson, because clearly whatever else the masters might think of him, like there are other students at the university who know what it's like to be in a tough spot with your tuition. But of course, Jackson assumes that if Quoth is at the university, he must have some money, at least enough money that he would have jewelry to pawn, and Quoth doesn't even have that.
That's a good point. The assumption is that you're nobility of some stature, I suppose, or a wealthy merchant. Like, you have enough to hawk.
Not a lot of farmers' sons at the university.
Yeah, this actually supports your crackpot theory that Quoth is, in fact, the poorest person there.
It sure does. Doesn't sound so cracked now, does it?
I feel like Quoth is not the only, like, not well-off person with a dream, though. Like, it might be less common that they might.
Well, the other one is Denna, right? That's the no prize answer is that the other person who's as poor as he is trying to make a go of it is Denna.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's not at the university, though.
Well, I think, Jordana, that the only reason Quoth can get into the university is that he's uncommonly clever. You know, there's probably lots of other people who would like to go to the university, but or who have a big dream of achieving something in life, but they don't happened to be a supernaturally gifted, intelligent wonder kind. You know,
and they're just he had people. Probably the best prep course you could possibly get in Abinthai.
Yeah,
when he was younger.
Whereas Denna, if Denna does have a similar origin story to Quoth, the difference is that Denna is not supernaturally, you know, brilliant as far as we know. She's just a person trying to make her way in the world, right?
Okay.
So she can't brilliant her way into the university. She has to make her way in the world through other means.
But as we'll see, she's definitely sharp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never meant to imply, and I don't believe that Denna's stupid. But she might not be the kind of polymath that Quoth is.
Mm-hmm. This page is definitely connecting material. He's musing about going to a moneylender, which is, I think, the first thing you'd think about if you tried and failed to essentially use the university as a moneylender.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going straight there. He's going to take some time, go visit his friend. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to solve the problem right away.
You know, well, he might be procrastinating too, right? If you know, if you have to go to an unpleasant appointment, wouldn't you like to stop in on your crush first?
That's a good point. But I also wonder if maybe Denna might have a solution, or maybe he's going to her for
advice.
Yeah, for advice or
commiserate.
Yeah, he's going to commiserate.
I don't think he would be that vulnerable with her. I don't think he would admit to her, "I'm really broke right now. My tuition's really high, and I don't know what to do." I think when he interacts with Denna, he maybe more than he needs to sort of tries to present the most charming, debonair version of himself.
That's a true point. Although, as we'll see, he does not become so charming and debonair that he conjures up a calling card and all these very official things that the porter is going to want from him.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why, if Denna told him to meet her here, she didn't warn him, "Hey, they're kind of stuffy, and you're going to like need these things to get in."
That's true. Maybe she didn't know what it was like. Maybe she hadn't set up her lodgings there yet. She just knew that's where she was going next. Because as we'll learn on the next page, she's already changed her man.
Mm-hmm. Or I wonder if she's playing with him. If she's like, "I wonder how Quoth's going to get past..." Like, she knows he's clever. And she knows he's a bit of a know-it-all. And he's kind of a play actor. So she's like, "All right, let's see if you can get past the doorman."
Hmm. That's a little more cruel than I would assign to Denna, but it's not impossible.
Much to think on, although mostly for the next page.
Doesn't Quoth describe her as cruel at one point? Not cruel, but like a storm, right? Like not cruel,
yeah,
but like sort
cold.
Of like, or like not even cold, sure. Just like, you know, causing damage in her wake, but without meaning to, and having no malice about it.
That's kind of who Quoth is.
That's yeah. A great observation, Giordano. Wow.
And further support that neither character did anything wrong and they're perfect for each other.
Uh-huh. Because when two storms meet, it's great for everybody.
Yeah, you get a super storm. We love those. We love to see them.
I can't dispute that.
That's right.
Anything else to say on this page, friendos?
No, I'm all done for this page.
Only that it is nice to be indisputable.
Uh-huh. Why don't we do some housekeeping, because we had a short episode.
Housekeeping.
All right. Well, if you want to stuff the shriveled and forlorn form of Mr. Mailbag, you can do so at... What's our new email, Nick?
Right now, our email is still pageofthewind@gmail.com. The smoothest way to do it, if you don't want to remember that, is go to our website at pageofthewind.com and scroll down to the bottom and use the form.
Wow.
If you'd like to follow us on the many things that are followable, such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, you can follow us at Page of the Wind.
Yeah, and if you want to support us with your hard-earned shims, drabs, and jots, you can go to patreon.com/pageofthewind and sign up for the low, low price of a single Earth dollar. Or if you want to get like t-shirts and mugs and flip-flops and shower curtains and pillowcases with our... and when I say our, I mean Giordana's wonderful art upon them. You can do that at our is it a Threadless page? Shopify?
It is a Threadless page.
No, not Shopify. It's what? Threadless. Threadless.
It's Threadless.
But again, you can just go to pageofthewind.com and navigate to the merch section from there. Jeremy, how long have we had this podcast? How long have we had
convenient.
This website? You should know this by now.
I should. But having a website that has all of our links on it, a little convenient, don't you think?
A little too convenient. A little suspicious.
Sounds like a crackpot theory to me.
Listeners.
True. Sounds like a case that only Jordana can solve.
You'll have to help Jordana unravel this mystery.
On another Quest for Jordana's Gold!